I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled. In this series, I help to demystify technology in the world of business. Join me as we explore how technology can make your business better. In this episode, we're chatting about data loss. We're chatting about what data loss is, why every company should worry about it, and what you can do to prevent it. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clearer idea of why data loss prevention is important for your business. I'm joined by Eugene Verster from TechWise. Eugene, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Jaco.
So we always start off by telling our guests a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I've actually been in the IT industry for about 26 years. And for 2 years, I've been with a company called TechWise, and we focus solely on cybersecurity products. We deal with a channel, so we only deal with resellers who will then sell our products to the end users.
Okay, so you primarily focus, I almost want to say, about positioning and acquiring the technology to ship down
the channel.
Okay, fantastic. So let's jump into it. Let's get to our topic that you've been watering my mouth with for quite a bit. So what is data loss?
So every single company will have data that is sensitive to them, you know, whether that's client lists, recipes, or whatever it might be. And what data loss is where someone is disseminating that data and sending it to individuals that should not have that data, whether that's accidentally or maliciously.
So are you talking about that typical Excel spreadsheet that goes onto email and here's a list of customers, I meant to send it internally, but it actually went to the wrong Jaco, for example.
Correct, yes, exactly that. Okay. And so data loss is a real thing, especially with the POPIA Act coming in, where clients need to know where their data is, who's accessing it, and where it's going. And also, like I said, you also have a malicious aspect sometimes, where people are selling that data for nefarious purposes.
Okay, so that is my next question, is how does this data loss typically occur?
Yeah.
I assume one portion of it is you can get an external threat to hack, then somebody breaks into your system and steal the data?
Correct, yes. And so most data loss occurs from internal. You actually have hacker groups that will target individuals and pay them for data within a company. Or you'll have just a disgruntled worker that's leaving and moving to one of your competitors, and he's wanting to take that data with him. So there's various methods where that occurs. And there's different channels. So it can be via email. It can be via things like Dropbox, Gmail, WhatsApp, or any other methodology where they're exporting data from your organization.
So this is it's a topic that's actually quite close to my heart, because we always speak about it.
Yes.
And, you know, it depends. When you speak to somebody, it depends. I don't want to say which side of the table or fence you sit on, but as an employee, for example, in our business, I do not like, I can use a stronger word, that people use WhatsApp for business communications.
Yes.
And then when, you know, when people hear that, they look at you and say, oh, but you know, that's quite rigid and et cetera, et cetera. And I go, okay, so let me explain a scenario to you. I employ a salesperson. They might be there for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever the number is. If that salesperson, for example, had the ability to download my customer list and they WhatsApp it to you, which is encrypted, I've got no way of knowing what happened to their data.
Correct.
And so on that note, why is it so easy for data loss to occur?
Well, because what happens is most people are focused on external threats. So you'll have a firewall and you'll have antivirus and all these things that are stopping people from the external coming into your organization. But very few people understand that sometimes the threat comes from in the organization, from a trusted source or a trusted individual. And so what Securin does is they take a zero-trust approach. They say anyone can be a threat, and we pretty much monitor all your data, all your employees, and what they're doing with your data.
So do you think for, let's say, for business owners or managers that should care about data loss, do you think that it's I almost want to say an uncomfortable thought to say, well, you know, my colleague is not to be trusted, and therefore, you know, it's almost, there's almost like a politeness factor where they go, yeah, but you know, I can't really say I don't trust you or the guy sitting next to you.
Yeah, so I think it's a fine balance, and it's something that you need to be cognizant of. However, when you're looking at data loss, we're not monitoring, or we're not spying on every little aspect. What we're doing is we're saying, this data that we have is sensitive, and please let me know what my staff are doing just with this data. So it's not where you're saying, oh, I want to know which channels you're going to or what websites you're visiting or anything like that. It's just, what are you doing with my data?
Okay, but that's what I'm so before we talk about the actual technology that we deployed, if we say, you know, when you talk about a zero trust approach,
sure.
Do you find that businesses find it difficult to implement a zero trust approach? Because essentially what you're then doing is you're saying to people, listen, although we're all working in the same office, I don't trust any of you, which is the truth. I mean, that's...
Sure.
Do you think that people, there's a politeness factor where people go and say, yeah, but you know, I've been working with Eugene now for 5 years, you know, yes. Eugene's quite a lacquer oak, so...
I'll be honest, I don't. And the reason I think that is because I think business owners have been bitten in the past.
Okay.
Where they've had a sales rep leave and take a client list with, or they've had someone accidentally leak information and it's cost the business money. And so I don't believe that, again, it's a fine line, but I don't believe that business owners are hesitant to employ such solutions.
Okay, so if you let's take a thumbsuck approach. If you start engaging a customer about your solution, how many of them have this on their radar as a big problem or a big potential threat, or do you have to go and educate quite a bit down the line first?
So I think there is a little bit of education that needs to happen, because what I'm doing is bringing a enterprise solution into an SME market, where typically these solutions haven't existed previously. And SME business owners don't really know that this sort of solution exists. Okay. So there is a lot of education. There is also the privacy factor where...
Do they understand that risk exists? It's like correct, you said, they might have been bitten, but I mean, do they understand that risk exists?
I would say probably about 70% of business owners do understand that risk exists.
So you understand the risk exists, but you almost go, well, I don't really know what to do.
Correct.
I don't know what the solution is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And should all companies worry about data loss?
I do believe that, yes. So especially, like I said, with Popia in place, it's a legal requirement. So you have to know what is happening with your data. And just from past that point, past the legalities of it, every single company has sensitive data that they worry about. And they worry who's accessing it, what's happening with it. And so data loss is a real concern for most people.
So, and I mean, this speaks into a lot of the strategies that we try and drive with our customers. I always use the example of a car dealership. If I start working at a car dealership, from the dealer principal perspective, I should put the phone on that salesman's desk, because if he leaves tomorrow, yes, and everybody find him on his mobile phone, he's leaving with that customer base, if you want to call it that.
Correct.
So in my world, I think email and phone, mobile phones, is probably the two most immediate biggest channels for data theft?
Yeah, so I mean, you have email, you have phone, you have USB memory sticks, you have things like Dropbox or other web services. I mean, the guy can even print the information, you know, and take it in a paper form outside of your organization.
Okay. So now, if we understand that the threat exists, I might be a little bit in the middle of the world and saying, oh, I don't really know what to do about it. So what can companies do to prevent the data loss?
So companies would essentially implement a data loss prevention solution like Zecurion, which is the solution that we have chosen to sell.
Yeah.
And that will then monitor your employees from the endpoint level. So it will be an agent that sits on their laptop. And it will monitor all activity. And you would then set parameters stating what information is critical to you. And then any time that people breach those parameters, you will get a notification of that.
So in other words, I'm going to download something onto my laptop, and if I try and download an Excel list with the customer base, then the solution will alert, or will it stop me?
So it will stop you and or alert, depending on how you've set up the solution. So if you just want to get an alert, that's how it will do it. You can even alert the user and say that what you're doing is in breach of the company's policies. Or okay. You can even block the user and log them off their device and then stop them from using that device any further.
Okay, so that's now on the company PC. Let's say if I'm, what is your word, nefarious, I'm probably going to be a little bit more careful not to use the company PC to do my activities.
Sure.
What about my mobile phone? I can send myself an email there?
You could. However, if you're connecting to the company's network, which is being monitored and secured by the solution, then all of that traffic is actually being monitored as well.
Okay, and if I really go analog and if I print it, same story?
If you're printing the information,
yeah.
Well, we're able to track that.
Okay. So, I'm trying to see what can I do here to find a hole in the solution. What if I take photos on my phone and say it's a bit analog, but I mean.
Yeah, so that's quite an interesting one. If you have a webcam on your device, part of the Zakurin solution is actually monitoring the webcam for any type of camera device in front of it. So it will actually detect if you're trying to take a photo of information on the screen, and it will take a photo of you trying to take that photo, as well as what information was on the screen at that point in time.
Okay. So... if I'm now an employee and all of a sudden I get this software that gets loaded on my PC,
yes.
Should I feel then that the company doesn't trust me, that I'm not valued?
I don't really see it as that. I think every company has the right to be able to monitor their data,
yeah.
Monitor the usage of their resources, and provided that's all they're doing, then why should I as an employee feel threatened by that?
Okay, and I assume that's part of the change management that one has to deal with when you implement.
Yes.
Okay, so now I warned you beforehand that this is the hot seat. Give us an example of a customer that you provided a solution to. What they had, what their problems was, and how we fixed it. You can name names or not.
Yeah, so due to confidentiality, I won't really name any names. But we have had two financial institutions, and part of what they were trying to monitor is personal client information being sent out, whether that was via email or Dropbox or whatever it is. And making sure that information wasn't being disseminated. They obviously approached us through one of our partners. We implemented the Zakurin solution. Implementation usually takes about a week. And at this point, they're very happy with the solution.
And when you deploy, do you first deploy it, I almost want to say, in a listener type mode to see what's happening, or do you block it from word go?
So it really depends on the client knowledge, if they already know exactly what they're wanting to achieve. However, in these examples, both clients sort of wanted to have an idea of what was happening first and then set the policies. So generally,
and what was process, happening? Did they actually find that people were sending client information and stuff? We were joking about it earlier, but the reason why I'm asking is my experience is a lot of times, and that's specifically why I asked the question earlier about if all companies should worry about it.
Yes.
You know, what I find in the SME space, even from an external hacking perspective, but specifically in these types of scenarios, people are going to go, yeah, but you know, I'm only a small company. What is sure. somebody going to do with my data? Yes. So it's almost like I understand there's a problem, but I'm going, yeah, but what's the worst thing that can happen? If you don't have the visibility, then you probably don't know what's going on.
Sure. Look, when you're talking worst case scenario, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is you can be involved in a data breach, and you're a big company, and your clients all find out that you were involved in a data breach, and then they lose confidence in you as a company, and they lose confidence in your infrastructure and your ability to control your data and your security within your company.
So let's not talk South Africa. Let's talk larger. There's stats around how much a data breach costs.
Yes.
How long it takes to come to the forefront. Do you have those? Do you have some of those stats at hand?
I don't actually have those off.
What's the average time for a company to realize there is a data breach or data loss if it's internal?
It could be years. Yes, 100%.
Because I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I think the SolarWinds hack that happened quite recently, that they only found out 2 years later.
Yeah.
That they'd had a breach. So.
Jeez, it's such a poison chalice. It's actually scary. And I think what happens is, and my experience from companies where I've worked in the past is that. I almost want to say you almost have this belief to say, oh, but you know, I know Eugene's now going to a different company, but surely yes. He's not going to do anything bad with it.
Yeah, so I mean, for most people, I think they just go about their day, and most people aren't a threat. But you don't need most of your employees to be a threat. You just need one to be that threat, and that could close your doors.
Okay, so now let's talk about this data loss prevention. You've touched on it earlier. If you had to explain to somebody that's not from the industry at Abrahi, what is data loss prevention? Let's go with that.
Generally, when I explain to them what data loss prevention is, they tell me I sell Big Brother. and I suppose that's probably the most apt way to describe it, because what we're doing is we're monitoring absolutely everything that your staff do with your data. And we can monitor speech patterns, we can monitor behavior, we can monitor if someone's just acting abnormally within your network. We can monitor moods.
Like, what would that be? What would abnormal be?
So if they usually log in 8 to 5 Monday to Friday, and then all of a sudden they start logging in every Saturday.
And now I assume with this work from home, hybrid yes. work scenario where everybody can VPN, it's become exponentially more difficult to work out what's going
100%.
On.
100%. And with work from home, people have actually lost control of their data, because before you'd walk in an office and you'd have your server room and your data would only be accessed within the confines of your office. Now, all of a sudden, your data is being accessed from all over the world and people don't actually know what's happening with it. And with solutions like this, you're able to bring that back into control and know what's happening with your data.
So if I'm sitting at home now, I have VPN access into the office, and I can use my personal PC to VPN into the office and access information.
Well, you could, but that would be a company policy where yes. you'd probably lock that out.
Okay. Well, if we have a DLP solution deployed, will that stop me from doing that then?
Correct, yes. So okay. you could actually have that certain computers aren't allowed to access information if they're not registered. And obviously, only approved computers are able to access your information.
Okay. So let's go back to DLP. You were talking about we install an agent on the PC.
Yes.
If I have a company mobile phone.
Unfortunately, we wouldn't do mobile phones, but we are monitoring network traffic. And
okay. So as soon as I try and log on to the Wi-Fi or VPN in or whatever,
correct.
We'll see what's going on. And then how will I block access to certain pieces of information?
That would all be policy driven.
Okay.
So
is this almost like an internal firewall? Can we almost call it that?
No, because what it's doing is it's actually just monitoring what's happening with your data, and you're setting policies around that. So whether you want to block access or block them from copying things to USB or sending it through Gmail and things like that. A firewall is typically something where you're blocking access into your network.
Yeah. Okay, so we're back at the Abrahi now. You're explaining to me DLP. My example on the show is always I'm running an accounting practice with branches in Centurion yes. and in Durban and Cape Town, obviously.
Sure.
Why do I need this?
Well, do you know what your staff are doing with your data? And if they're sending your data out to your competitors, do you care about that? If the answer is no to what they're doing to your data and yes to whether you care, then you need a DLP solution.
Okay. And now if I if you scared me enough now to, because I assume that it's mostly fear that drives the process.
Yes.
Where would you? How do I start?
So you would contact one of our resellers.
Yeah.
Or you could contact us directly, and we would put you in touch with one of our trusted resellers.
Yeah.
We would actually liaise with you, and we work very closely with the end client and the reseller to find the right fit, and then we would implement the solution for you.
But is there like a discovery process where we first understand?
Correct. So there would be a scoping session. We would sit. We would understand exactly what it is that you're trying to achieve. And then we would...
But do I know? Because all I know is you've now scared the living daylights out of me that all my data is disappearing.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's basically my brief. I met Eugene Saturday evening. He said, do I know what my staff is doing with my data? No.
Yes.
Do I care what's happening with it? Yes.
Sure. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what data within your organization is important to you?
Yes, well, obviously my call it my CRM system where all of my customer information sits.
Sure. So we would start there.
Okay.
And we would create policies to monitor the ins and outs of your CRM system. And we could have an open policy just so we can actually discover what's happening, and then we could fine tune those policies over time.
Does it matter if what PC? It can be Windows or Mac or anything like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Windows, Mac, Linux,
tablets.
Not tablets. Not mobile devices.
Okay.
But like I said, we're monitoring on a gateway level, so you can actually see what data is going to those devices.
And again, bring your own device, work from home. Those are all things that should basically make every business owner stand up and pay attention and say,
correct,
what is happening with my data?
100%.
In the conversations that you have, when you ask those questions, how often do people say, I know exactly what's happening with my data?
Almost never. Most people, when you're speaking to them, do actually start getting a little bit afraid when they realize that they don't actually have control of what's happening within the network.
I was thinking about it quite a bit in the run-up to our conversation here. There's sometimes where there's a mismatch between our behavior and what we intellectually understand.
Yes.
So we've got buzzwords like data is the new gold. We all understand the value of data.
Yes.
But then when you stick around, what's happening with your own gold? You know, if I walk into a business and gave them a Kruger Rand, they'd go and lock it in a safe.
Correct.
But in the data world, you could just go, okay, well, I don't know, what is there for me to do?
Yeah, most people trust that the IT guy is dealing with all of those aspects, when in reality, a lot of the times, especially from a data leak prevention side, the IT guy is not really dealing with that.
I like what you're saying now. So that that feeds into what we're saying. I think the world has become too complex just to rely on the IT guy. You have to look wider and maybe get different eyes in and all that type of stuff. In a scoping session, we can have a scoping session without me having signed a piece of paper to order,
correct,
a million licenses from you?
100%.
So the worst case scenario out of a scoping session is if everything in your environment is 100%, you're going to get peace of mind to say, I don't have any problems.
Sure.
And like you say, 99.9% is going to be not the case. You mentioned the Big Brother story earlier. Is that a hurdle that people need to cross in their minds?
Sometimes, yes. Because of the scope of the solution, where we're able to monitor moods, we're able to monitor behavior, abnormal behavior. We can literally monitor everything your staff are doing. It does sometimes raise the question of privacy, and do you want to cross that line where you're infringing on someone's privacy. And what I say to everyone is, just because the solution can do all of that doesn't mean you have to implement all of those features. All you're worried about is your data, and so the policies you're setting is just around how people are interacting with your data, what they're doing with it, where they're sending it,
But you know, that to me is such a it's such an important point that you're raising there now. And for me, my personal opinion around it is one needs to be a bit more, I almost want to say, unemotional, black and white about it.
Yes.
The PC that you put in front of your on your employee's desk, it's a work tool. It's not.
Correct.
You know, it's not a fringe benefit where you can say, okay, right, you know, yeah, I gave you the biggest, bestest machine so you can play games and, you know, run your side hustle on or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a work tool.
Yeah.
So if we, and to me, again, it comes back to understanding what the risk and the danger is to the business.
Yes.
When you understand that, then it's very easy to be clinical about it,
yes.
Which we should be. Because
yeah.
If you don't, then, I mean, that's where the problems come. Where in the past, somebody said, oh, yeah, but this is my PC. No. It's your PC for as long as you work here and you do
yes.
the work that you're here to do. It's not your own personal device. If it's your own personal device, like you said, I probably don't want you to connect to the company's network.
Yes.
So it's a mindset shift in terms of how we need to look at it. And I mean, I laugh at it, you know. It's almost like sometimes in the company, you know, when a new guy starts, you can't get a new PC because, you know, he needs to get the hand-me-down because the PC is almost like a token of what you're worth or your standing in the company is, and therefore, you can't see what I'm doing on it because, you know, it's mine. But
yes.
it's actually not. It's so important.
Very, very interesting point. And I think another point to be made here, talking about being clinical, is that if a company suffers, it's not just the owners of the company, it's every single staff member that company is responsible for.
Yes.
And so it's the company's responsibility to ensure that the safety of those staff members and their job security is intact.
Exactly that. And I mean, that's my even for you as the owner of the business, if you're going to do let's call it private stuff, whatever that might be.
Yes.
YouTube channels or with cartoons or I don't know, OnlyFans or whatever. Do it on your own PC. Don't do it at the company because it can
yes.
be a risk.
100%.
I mean, that is actually the point. I mean,
yes.
It's so important for me. You know, if you're an airline pilot, you fly the planes that belong to the company. It's not your plane.
Correct.
And tomorrow another guy's going to fly it. So, you know, you almost need to have a scenario where today you work on one PC, tomorrow you work on another PC. It almost needs to be personalified or whatever the word is, so that you can you know, you can be clinical in terms of how you implement your approach.
I agree with you 100%.
Okay, one last thought.
Sure.
If I'm a business owner and I listen to this, what's your last thought to me?
Yeah, just contact us. You can do a search for Zakirin or go to tech-wise.co.za. My name's Eugene. You can speak to me and I'll put you in touch with one of our partners and we can get the ball rolling, have a conversation.
No risk, no obligation.
No risk, no obligation.
Cannot do it to ask. Okay, excellent. Eugene, thank you very
awesome.
Much.
Thanks a lot, Yaku. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Unbundled, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to demystify technology so that you can make smarter decisions in your business. Remember, you can listen to all of the podcasts on the Cliff Central app or website, and for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And remember, if you're looking for help with the communications tools in your business, please make sure to visit catalytic.co.za.
CliffCentral.com